If you would, take your Bibles tonight and go with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. And I know I sound like a broken record, but I have a purpose. We're working through the characters of the Bible. And when we study the characters of the Bible, we do that for a purpose. The reason is I want personally, and I want you and us to have a sound understanding of God's Word. And so far, in 2 years' time, we've worked our way through the main characters and some minor characters of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, and now we're in Proverbs. And when you come to the book of Proverbs, there are lots of characters in Proverbs, but they're unlike the named characters of the other books of the Bible. They're actually characters that represent characteristics in the lives of people, and with something that we see very profound in society. And Solomon, with great wisdom, identified many characters. We're going to look at a few of them. Last week, we looked at the wise man, and this week, we're going to look at the fool. There's so many things we can see here in this passage of Scripture. If you'd follow along with me, we'll look beginning in Proverbs chapter number 1. If we weren't in a global pandemic, I'd ask you to lick your fingers because we're going to move around in the Scriptures, but we are, so don't lick your fingers. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? How in the world are folks opening the little bags in the produce section anymore? It's awful, isn't it? We got some ideas here with friction and that kind of thing, but I mean, this licking your fingers thing is over. But we're going to turn to several places. It's not normally my style, but I want to show you some things in God's Word, and I'm asking God to use His Word to reveal in our hearts tendencies that we may have to be foolish, and also to give us a clear understanding of the fool and to draw us closer to God. The fool is our character for tonight. And if you look with me in the Bible, Proverbs chapter number 1, let's just read several verses together. Begin in verse number 1. Our text comes from verse number 7. The Bible says, but in verse number 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool. Tonight's message is titled, The Fool. And the Bible gives us lots of information about the fool. Now, the word fool is an interesting word. The word fool, folly, are the same words, and they literally mean bellows. The bellows on an organ is the windbag that puffs them up and makes them sound. And literally, quite literally, when the Bible talks about the fool, the Bible's calling that person a windbag. You know something about a windbag? It's full of air, but when the air is taken out of it, it has very little left. We think about this airbag, this windbag, this puffed up fool. A fool may look like a giant, but when the wind is taken out of there, nothing. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about what's something that has wind in it. When the wind's taken out of it, it's nothing. And, of course, the first thing I thought of was a bounce house, but then I went a little further. Have you seen these men that are full of air, and they flop around in the wind, they use them to advertise businesses? Right there is a beautiful picture of a fool. He flops around, he's full of wind and full of air, but quite frankly, he's quite useless for the reality of life. And the Bible calls a fool just that, a puffed up windbag. And so we're going to look at him tonight. And I pray to God that the puffed up windbag nature that we may have in us, and all of us have a tendency to these things, we may get rid of it. And we may learn to identify sin in our lives. The first thing I want to bring your attention to is this, the fool and God. There's 3 points to this message and a number of verses, but the first thing we want to talk about is the fool and God. You see, where the fool messes up initially because he leaves God out. You see, the fool and God, the only hope for a fool, and we'll look at a verse here in just a minute, the only hope for a fool is for God to change his life. There's a picture here in the Proverbs of what happens to a fool. What can you do to get the fool out of a fool? And the Bible says, though you were to take him and put him in a mortar and use a pestle and grind on him and grind on him, you can't get the fool out of a fool. But I want you to know something that's wonderful. God can get the fool out of a fool. So a foolishness, God, the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says here in this passage of Scripture, the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, the fool misses God. In the Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, don't turn there yet. We're going to work our way through the Proverbs. But in Psalm 14, 1, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. As if that wasn't sufficient enough for the Bible to say it once. Again, in Psalm chapter 53, verse 1, the Bible says again, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There's none that doeth good. If I remember correctly, when I was a teenager, I can't remember for sure if it was a T-shirt or a bumper sticker, but I'm pretty sure it was a bumper sticker. My Uncle Pete had a bumper sticker on his truck. He always had a beautiful truck. But he had a bumper sticker on his truck, and the bumper sticker said, National Atheist Day, April 1st. And it had this verse, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Surely, truly, April Fool's Day would be work out very good with Psalm chapter 53, verse number 1. The fool and his God. The fool denies God. The fool leaves God out. The fool moves headlong and foolishly into his own understanding or lack thereof. The fool denies God. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, and verse number 26, the Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You know what people say that's so silly? We have this idea, if I know my heart, well, the Bible says you do not know your heart. A man doesn't know his heart. The Bible says that our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says a fool trusteth in his own heart. May God help us. You see, the fool and his God, the fool leaves God out. The fool denies God. The fool denies his need for God. And I'll just have you know, if you find yourself in a situation where somehow you've devised a plan in opposition to God and you've come to the conclusion that your way is better than God's way, God has called you a fool. You see, when we put it that way and we consider the fool and his God, there's a lot more foolish people than we would like to admit. We have a tendency to foolishness that's greater than we'd like to admit. I'm not talking about just going out and acting like a dummy. I'm talking about people who've devised in their hearts that their way is better than God's way, that their decisions are better than God's decisions, that their standards are better than God's standards. The Bible says that person is a fool, and the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Folks, I'll just tell you something. If you turn your back on God, his word, his precepts, Cody didn't say it. It's not my place to be your judge, but it is my place to stand and say, thus saith the word of God. God calls you a fool. See, our first step towards being a wise son is to put God in his proper place. The fool and his God. Will you take your Bibles and look in the New Testament with me to Romans chapter number 1? Romans chapter number 1. This is an interesting passage of Scripture, and it deals very detailedly, and it deals with great accuracy with the condition of a foolish world. It considers and tells us why what God has done and what God has given us that causes people to know that there's a God. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 1 and verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Bible says we are without excuse. We know that there's a God, and God has made it really clear just by His creation. Isn't God's creation amazing? It takes less faith to believe that God created the heavens and the earth than it does faith to believe that out of nothing came everything, out of random circumstances and some type of cosmic clash. Another thing that I've seen and I really like is I do believe in the Big Bang Theory. God spoke and bang, it was. And the Bible says that man is without excuse. You cannot deny the existence of God because my eye has a million working parts. And so does yours. And God gave it to us. It's amazing. We're without excuse. The Bible continues in verse 21 of Romans 1. Because that when they knew God, they couldn't deny that it was God. They glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Have you ever wondered how in the world could we get as far away from truth as we are today? So many professingly wise people, intelligent people, have gotten so far away from truth. The Bible says they profess themselves to be wise, but their foolish hearts have been darkened. They deny God. And the product of a heart that's denying God, foolishness is more foolishness. Do you know what foolishness breeds? It breeds foolishness. Their foolish heart was darkened. Verse number 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Do you know what the natural inclination of people who deny God is to do? It's to worship nature. Just watch it. I mean, this is not something new that is happening in our society. People turn their backs on God, and instead of worshiping God, the Creator, they worship the creation. There's so much emphasis on the creation. There's so much emphasis on protecting habitats, and I like to hunt. And I like outside, and I like clean water and clean air. Don't get me wrong, but I'll just have you know something. If we do not acknowledge that that is God's gift to us, creation is God's gift to us, and we do not acknowledge our Creator and we worship the creation, guess what happens? The Bible declares us to be fools. The Scripture continues. They changed the glory, verse 23, of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Their hearts are darkened, and God gives them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The next thing, you worship creation instead of Creator. The next thing, you begin to have vile affection towards folks you shouldn't have affection towards. They dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who change the truth of God into a lie. What do they do? What we know to be true is really plain. They twist it and turn it and spin it so that the truth of God is a lie. You don't have to look very far to see that happening, do you? God's truth being portrayed as a lie. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What does God call a God denier who worships the creation instead of the Creator? God calls him a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool and God. You see, if you leave God out, it's a foolish thing. The acknowledgement of the fact that God created the heavens and the earth is the beginning of all things and is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of understanding. It's the fear of the Lord, the fool in God. You see, we must keep God in the center of our world because He is our Creator. The wisest thing you could ever do is to humble yourself and become a servant of the Most High Creator God, the fool in God. Number two, the fool and his character. Will you look with me in Proverbs chapter 1? Now we're going to work our way through a few passages of Scripture. Lick your fingers, just kidding. Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse 7, this is our jumping off point. The second thing we're going to talk about is the fool and his character. There are things that are continual and constant in regards to the character of a fool. Some things that repeat themselves over and over again. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What can be said to be true about a fool? He despises wisdom and instruction. Oh, it's so sad to be around someone who does not want to learn. But you see, that's the nature of a fool. That's the character of a fool. He knows it all. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse number 22 of Proverbs 1, the Bible says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad to think that you get to the place where you hate knowledge? I'm thankful for knowledge. I like to learn. I really do. I love to learn. I love to learn new things. And it's a good spirit to have. But if you get to the place where you know it all, the Bible declares you a fool. If you turn a few pages over in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 18. The character of a fool. What are some things that characterizes this person? The Bible says in Proverbs 10:18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. There's an emphasis here. He that hideth hatred with lying lips. Someone that's lying. Now the Bible says that there's a cover-up here. This person is smiling. He's angry in the depths of his soul, and he's smiling and lying about the fact that he's really mad. The Bible says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips is a fool. He that uttereth a slander is a fool. Have you ever been around a slanderer? Someone who just at the drop of a hat will slander anybody that they get a chance to slander. We got to be careful. You see, here's an emphasis on the fool. The number one characteristic of a fool, and the number one way to show what a fool, who a fool is and what a fool does, is what the words that come out of his mouth. A fool uttereth a slander. It's so easy to get in the habit of being a slanderer. I've actually been around a number of folks who you can't have a conversation with these folks unless it's some form of slander against somebody else. It's easy to fall into that trap, and I don't want to be guilty of slandering people. Slander, I'll tell you, if it was me, I'll tell you what I'd do. Well, it's really easy to tell everybody what you'd do if you're not doing it. I've been attending football games lately. There are slanderers abroad all over the stands of a football game. The most wise administrators of schools and coaches are the folks that sit in the stands on a Friday night. I'm telling you, if you could bottle up the wisdom in the hearts of all the people that sit in the stands of a football game, I'll tell you, coach, you need to do this. Coach, you need to do that. Ref, you need to do this. I've had all year to get this field right. If you could bottle up all the wisdom that are in the stands of a football game, you'd have a big flopping thing full of air. It's exactly what it is. Now, in all sincerity, I understand. Folks have a good time, and have a good time. It's great. But slander and words are the things that show and deem a man a fool. The character of a fool, the Bible says in verse 23 of chapter 10, you're there. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. Isn't that something? It is a sport. It's something fun for a foolish person to do mischief. I'm not talking about having a good time. I'm talking about someone who's messing things up and tearing things up. It's a sport to a fool to do mischief. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. Turn a few pages over in your Bible again. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. The Bible says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." What's it say about a fool? He's never wrong. He's never wrong. He never makes a mistake. He's right in his own eyes. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, turn a few more pages with me. In Proverbs 14, in verse 9, this is very important. "Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there's favor." Fools make a mock at sin. What's that mean? That means fools laugh at sin. Fools mock at sin. You know, we shouldn't be the kind of folks who get a good laugh at a filthy joke. Fools make a mock at sin. We shouldn't be the kind of people who make light the very thing that ruins people's lives. Fools make a mock at sin. It's a foolish thing to mock something that hurts people so badly. Fools make a mock at sin. May God help us. Fools make a mock at sin. Look at the 16th verse of Proverbs 14. The Bible says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." There's a contrast here. The wise man sees and perceives that this is dangerous and not good, not right. And the Bible says he departs from evil. I want you to know something. It is not wimpy or weak to leave the scene of something that's wrong. As a matter of fact, it takes more guts and courage to go against the grain and leave a situation that is wrong than it does to stay there and partake. The Bible says a wise man sees the problem and fears and says, "I'm out of here, man." Joseph was such a beautiful picture of that. Joseph, day after day, was asked by Potiphar's wife to come and lay with me. Joseph said, "No way." On a day, Potiphar's wife called him at a moment when there was no one around, and she grabbed a hold of his coat, and Joseph said, "No way, Jose," and he left his coat and kept his character. It sent him to prison, but he did the right thing. You see, a wise man says this is not good, and he fears and departs from evil. But the fool, what's the fool do? He rageth in his calling. He says, "I got this. I'm old enough. I'm big enough. I'm strong enough." Those are lies. It's a character of a fool. Turn the page in your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 2. "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." Have you ever been around somebody that talks a whole lot and says nothing? The Bible calls him a fool. A fool. "The mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." Verse number 5 of chapter 15. Look there with me. "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." Chapter 19. Just a few pages over. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:1, "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." Now, the Bible gives us some insight here. A fool does not have to be some poor imbecile. There are some very wealthy fools. There are some very prominent fools. The Bible says it's far better to be poor and to walk in your integrity than to be perverse in your lips and be a fool. You see, the character of the fool continues in Proverbs 20. Just turn the page there. And verse 3, the Bible says, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife." It's an honor for a man to cease from strife. You know, it's the right thing for a man or a woman or a boy or a girl to stop a contentious situation. It's an honor. That's wise. It's wise for you to understand that this could be a big mess, but I think I'm going to keep from stirring the pot. That's wise. The Bible, in another place in the Proverbs, is a verse that comes to my mind often. I love it. That it's a wise man's honor to pass over a transgression. That doesn't mean you just ignore sin. But if there's something that you know is bad, something that's wrong, something that could be dealt with, something, somebody's chops that could be bust, it's a wise thing for a man to pass over a transgression. I'm going to let that slide. I'm going to give them enough rope to hang themselves. It's a wise thing. And the Bible says it's a wise thing. A wise man, in this passage of Scripture, it's an honor for him to cease from strife. Man, if you can keep the peace, by all means, do. But the Bible says a fool. It's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Have you ever met folks who just like to meddle? Who just like to stir it up, stir the pot? Most of them spend a lot of time on Facebook. Stirring it up, meddling. Look, meddling is foolish. I know pastors and preachers who are meddling fools because they like to see who they can get to fight and fuss. The Bible says in the characteristic of a godly pastor, preacher, bishop, he should not be a striker. It's a foolish thing to meddle. And the Bible says a fool will be meddling. He keeps saying stirred up. He likes the strife and contention. They like the fight. But that's not wise. In chapter 23, in verse 9, the Bible says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." Huh. "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." I have this situation that continues to come up. It seems like about every 3 or 4 months I have this thing to deal with. And every now and then I think, I'm just going to rip into it. And I'm going to fix this thing once and for all. And God smites my heart with a verse like this. "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." You see, we need to be careful and watch our words. Chapter 26, and verse number 6. The Bible says, "He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage." You know what a fool? He cannot be trusted. Now look, if you want to be the kind of person that can't be trusted and is good for nothing, then proceed headlong in your foolish ways. But the Bible says, "He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage." You put your trust in a fool, you're going to cause yourself great grief. In the same chapter, verse number 11, chapter 26, verse number 11, the Bible says, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." Isn't that something? As a dog returneth to his vomit, a fool returns to his folly. He just does the same silly thing over and over again. The character of a fool, it continues. Chapter 27, verse 22, the Bible says, "Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar, among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him." The character of a fool, it's deep, it's ingrained. The only hope for a fool is God. Chapter 29 and verse 11, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards." A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. Folks, I want you to know something. If you're bad to run off at the mouth, you better ask the Lord, "Am I being foolish? Am I a fool?" A fool uttereth all his mind. Verse number 20, the same chapter. "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him." You see, this emphasis on the character of the fool, as we study through the book of Proverbs, it begins with the words of a fool and ends with the words of a fool. And the words of a man or a woman or a boy or girl, the things that come out of their mouth are an evidence of the fact that they are or are not a fool in God's eyes. You see, the character of a fool, in the book of Ecclesiastes 7, 9, the Bible says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." May God help us. The character of a fool. Finally, number three, the fool's end. The fool's end. You see, if you talk to a fool, the fool says, "Hey, I'm all right. This is going to be great." You hear fools speak things like, "I'm going to hell when I die, but it's going to be a great party with all my friends." He's a fool. You hear the fool raise his glass or take his drugs and say, "Wow, this is great. I'm really living it up." That's not the fool's end. That's the process and the beginning of the fool's end. But the fool has turned his back on God. He's going to have something to face that we hate. Turn back to the beginning of the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. The fool's end. All through the book of Proverbs, we see these little nuggets of what is to come. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 35. "The wise shall inherit glory." Oh, isn't it going to be glory? Heaven is going to be glorious. It's going to be glory. It's going to be wonderful. Oh, that will be glory for me. But the Bible says, "But shame shall be the promotion of fools." A godly person gets glory. Fools, what do they have to look forward to? Shame. Shame. I remember so many times, and oh, but for the grace of God, I would be the exact same. I remember so many times and so many instances that foolishness of my buddies was loud and on display. And I look now after all these years and I think, praise be to God that I was not, I didn't fall into that. Praise be to God for the emphasis of our church. Praise be to God for the emphasis of my parents. Praise be to God for the godly influences in my life. You see, what does a fool have to look forward to? Out of his mouth he says, "It's going to be awesome. I'm going to party hardy." The Bible says all he has to look forward to, the promotion of a fool, is shame. Oh, the shame of a foolish life. It's terrible. God wouldn't wish it on you. We make that choice ourselves. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 8. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." The word prating is quite interesting. It means talking excessively. Here we go. This is the theme. It's in your mouth. Watch what you say. The prating fool. A prating fool. A person who talks excessively. The Bible says the fool shall fall. So what do we have to look forward to as fools? What's a fool have to look forward to? Shame. What's he have to look forward to? A fall. In the same chapter, chapter 10 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "He that winketh with the eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall." Chapter 11 and verse 29, the Bible says, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart." The servant shall be fool to the, the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. I don't know where I saw it, but I saw this difficulty between a couple young boys. You had one boy that was kind of a nerd. The other boy was a prating fool, since we've got that on our tips of our tongue right now. And the prating fool was running his mouth and being all cocky and unkind, and the little nerd was kind of, and someone came up, put their arms around him and said, "Don't worry about it, buddy. One of these days he'll work for you." And you look into the future, and sure enough, that arrogant fool is the servant of the wise man. Look, we have to make decisions now. I'm speaking to our young people. We have to make decisions now. Am I going to be foolish or am I going to be wise? Am I going to run off at the mouth or am I going to be wise and seek wisdom and understanding? The fool. You see, the fool shall be the servant of the wise of heart. Chapter 13 and verse 20, the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Be careful who you're with. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. What's the product of a fool? Destruction. Oh, it's so sad. The product of foolishness is destruction. Chapter 17 and verse 12. The end of the fool. This is an interesting picture. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 12. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man. Do you see this picture? When's the most dangerous time to mess with a bear? Is if her cubs are in trouble. That's not good. You see a cub in the woods, be careful. Because you're in danger. You see, you let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? Can you imagine having to go toe-to-toe with an angry mama bear? The Bible says it'd be better to go toe-to-toe with an angry mama bear rather than a fool in his folly. Look, I'm just going to tell you something. Your foolishness will maim you. Your foolishness will ruin you. Your foolishness will destroy you. Your foolishness will leave you looking like you've just been clawed by a bear. That's God's word on it. And if you want to ruin your life, then continue. But if you want God's blessing, be wise. Seek wisdom. Proverbs 17, verse 21, the Bible says, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow. And the father of a fool hath no joy. You know what's interesting about being foolish and a fool? It hurts you. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow. You see, it hurts. It actually hurts you, but it also hurts other people. The person who begets a fool, that's the father of a fool. That's the mother of a fool. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow. And the father of a fool hath no joy. Isn't that something? A foolish child can rob a father and a mother, a grandmother, a grandfather of their joy. This is nothing new. It's happened all through the Scripture. Think about some foolish sons of the Bible. You remember Cain? Cain, with a wicked heart, murdered his brother Abel. Who's left in the shadows with a broken heart? None other than Adam and Eve. What about Esau? Jacob's oldest boy, the hairy one. Esau, full of spite, deliberately married pagan women to grieve his father Isaac. The foolishness of Esau broke their hearts. What about Jacob's sons? You remember? Joseph had his coat of many colors. They cast him into a pit and a group of folks came by. They sold him into slavery. They took his coat and mangled it and covered it in blood and took it back and lied to their father that Joseph had died. Oh, what great sorrow they brought to their father for all those years. Jacob's sons. What about Samson? I love the stories of Samson. Everybody likes a he-man. But Samson, he brought great grief to his parents by living with pagan women and associating with the enemies of Israel, and it cost him his life. What about David's sons? Amnon forced his sister into an incestuous relationship. Absalom killed him. And later ran David off the throne. And we hear David crying, oh, Absalom, Absalom. My son Absalom. It's devastating. Folks, I want you to know something. Foolishness doesn't only hurt you, but it hurts those that are closest to you. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 29, the Bible says, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the backs of fools. If you like being beaten or clawed by a bear than continue in your foolishness. The stripes are for the backs of fools. It hurts to be foolish. It hurts to be a fool. And if you like honor at all, if you like to be respectable, then don't be a fool, because the Bible says in Proverbs 26:1, just listen to it, as snow in summer. Does that go together? Snow and summer? I hope not. As snow in summer, as rain in harvest in the hottest times of August, rain is not prominent and prevalent. As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Isn't it funny? The very thing that the fool puffs his chest out and blows hot air about, trying to get honor for himself, is the very thing that he can't have. The fool. There's another fool in the Bible, and Jesus talks about him. Will you turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 2? We're almost finished. Luke, chapter number 2. There's a parable that Jesus gives of a rich fool. Look at it with me. Luke chapter number 2. I'm sorry, Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 16. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse number 16, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." What's the end of the fool? He may have plenty to live on. He may have plans for the future. But if he leaves out God, if he's not rich toward God, then the price he pays is everything. You see, the end of the fool is damnation, condemnation, falling, failure, emptiness. May God help us. There's one last verse I want to read to you. So we bring this to a conclusion. Ephesians 5:15. Just listen. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." What should we determine? We should determine, as the result of the Bible teaching us and giving us clarity on the fool, the God of the fool, the character of the fool, and the product of the fool, we should determine with our hearts and with our lives to say no to the foolish ways of man in the world, and say yes to God. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The Bible says something wonderful. You see, wisdom comes from God. The foolishness that is pent up inside of us can be only remedied by God. You can't beat it out of somebody. You can't beat it out of yourself. But when we open our hearts to God, He replaces the foolishness with wisdom. The Bible begins by saying it just like this: "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." I know that it should be the burden of every teenager and child under the sound of my voice. You should be praying and asking God, "Give me wisdom, make me wise." God, please give me wisdom. It should be the prayer of every parent and young adult, and every grandparent, every child of God. God, please give me wisdom. The products of wisdom are wonderful. The product of foolishness is awful. May we learn something tonight from the character of the fool.